today to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And we do on this special Sunday want to honor our mothers. And this morning, as we look to God's Word, we want to remind ourselves why we need to honor our mothers, because they are wonderful gifts of God to us. Our text this morning is from the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, and just for the introduction, or the introductory verse this morning, I will be reading from the King James Version because it's familiar, especially regarding the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we worship God this morning through the sharing of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness and Your grace. And this morning especially, we thank You, Lord, for the grace of motherhood. We thank You, Lord, for blessing us with the treasure of mothers. And we thank You for Your Word. And dear God, as we look to Your Word this morning, not only, Lord, as an encouragement to honor our mothers, but, Lord, to strengthen our faith in You, we would ask that Your Holy Spirit would move upon us in a very special and powerful way. We pray that You would speak to us through Your Word, that, Lord, You would increase not only our appreciation for our mothers, but also our love for You, and we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When we look to the Word of God, and when we see what the Word of God has to say about mothers, we see that honoring our mothers is more than something we should do once a year with some flowers and some, I was going to say, soggy pancakes. Pancakes or breakfast or lunch. It is something that we should do every day in our worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was struck in reading our text this morning how Paul brings a distinction to this, not only this suggestion, this nice thing to do, but this commandment of God to honor our mothers. Once again, the text reads, honor thy father and mother for this reason, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Honoring our fathers and our mothers, and specifically our mothers today, because that's whom we're focusing on this morning. And be forewarned, I'm going to share this same message on Father's Day. No, I'm just kidding. But in all seriousness, there is a specialness to the commandment that we have from the Lord to honor our mothers. We see it in the Ten Commandments. What the Apostle Paul actually is doing here is reminding people what the Ten Commandments were, specifically what the Fifth Commandment was, and how even though they were living under grace, they were still called to fulfill this part of the law, to honor their fathers and their mothers. This commandment was put in a very special place of prominence in the Ten Commandments. And what I mean by that, the Ten Commandments, as we read them in the book of Exodus chapter 20, can be broken up into two parts. The first four commandments, to have no other gods before God, to to make no graven image, to not use the name of the Lord in vain, and to honor the Sabbath and to keep it holy, all deal with our relationship with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're what Jesus refers to as loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And then the remaining six commandments of these Ten Commandments deal with the second greatest commandment, how to love our neighbor as ourselves, because God just doesn't want man to love and honor him. God wants man to love and honor each other. In fact, the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 says, submit yourselves one to another in the grace of God. How important it is. And the first commandment that the Lord gave back to Moses on the mountain of God as it relates to relationships with one another is for children to honor their parents, honor their mothers. In fact, this is something that Jesus stated in his teaching ministry over and over again. Honor your father, honor your mother. And that word he used for honor, the disposition that children are to have towards their mothers, is the same word that he used in his relationship to his heavenly Father. How he, in everything that he did, honored his Father. He sought his Father's will. He prayed and communed with his Father. He obeyed his Father even unto the point of death. And that word honor that he used in his relationship with his Father, he also commanded to be used. He commanded children to use with their mothers. And Jesus, in commanding and teaching people to honor their mothers, just didn't preach it. He also lived it, as he did with every other commandment that he shared in his teaching ministry. Think of the life of Jesus. We have just a brief glimpse into his boyhood. And even at the tender age of 12, Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. And when his family left Nazareth and went down to Jerusalem and there worshiped God, Jesus decided to remain at Jerusalem and to talk and to share with the various religious leaders there instead of returning home to Nazareth with his parents. And then, of course, his parents discovered he wasn't there. And how many can identify with that? Ah, where's my kids? Rushed back to Jerusalem and found Jesus in the temple. And he said, I must be about my Father, my heavenly Father's business. But then what did Jesus do? Did he say, so go take a hike, I'm the Son of God, I'm going to do what I want? No, the Bible tells us he submitted or subjected himself to his earthly parents. He honored his mother and returned with them to Nazareth. And then we have the account of Jesus who was with his mother at a wedding in Canaan in John's Gospel, chapter 2. This is before Jesus began his ministry. And Jesus came to earth to do great things. And he did wonderful, amazing things. When his disciples were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, in the midst of a great storm, Jesus came out, walked on the waters, delivered his disciples. When he was asleep in the boat, he commanded the wind and the waves to be still, and they were still. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He preached and taught in authority and liberated people from the bondage of their sin and of religious oppression. And above all, he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. One day he was at a wedding and they did, which was, you know, a social thing, no great thing, nothing that would change the course of the world, nothing that would really make any lasting difference in anyone's life. At this wedding feast, they ran out of wine. I don't know how important it is. I guess it was fairly important there. It'd be like, going to a Thanksgiving dinner and running out of turkey, I guess. I don't know. No big deal. The disappointment of the moment, I'm sure it quickly would have faded. But we have this account in Scripture of Jesus transforming water into wine. Why? Because it changed the course of history, or because his mother came up to him and said, "You need to do something about this." And Jesus, the creator and sustainer of the world, the savior of all mankind, sent to do great things, said to his mother, "Woman," which was a title of respect, said, "Woman, what will you have to do with me? Before it's not my time." Went and submitted, honored her, and submitted himself to her and changed the water into wine so that that family could celebrate. Not only showing us the great might and honor and power of Jesus, but illustrating the importance of honoring your mother. I think this is very, very important today, because this is something that our society is losing. We no longer in many spheres honor authority. And many children today, and I think all of us in some respect struggle with this, take our mothers for granted. And especially since mothers are wonderful and they're loving, but they're not perfect, it's so easy, like we do with other individuals, we focus on their faults instead of appreciating the wonderful things that they give us. But the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially to his church, in society, openly and demonstratively, is to honor our mothers. And I think this is to be both in an individual but also a broad sense. It's important that we as people who understand, you know, Mary was a vessel that God used to bring the Son of God into the world. Jesus never disowned his mother. He always honored her. He was someone special to her. In fact, he honored his mother. I almost neglected to share this. He honored his mother to the point of his death as he hung on the cross. One of the most touching things that Jesus did, as his faithful mother, showing the love and the devotion of a mother. Most touching, one of the most touching things that he did was to make sure, despite all that was going on, the agony and the brutality, the mocking, the separation from the Father, the taking upon himself the sins of the cross, he made sure his mother was going to be taken care of after he left this earth. He was to die and then die, rise again and then ascend to the right hand of the Father, by saying, "Son," to the Apostle John, "Behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." Jesus honored his mother to the very end. And we're to honor our individual mothers. But we're also to honor mothers in general. They are a gift. Let me tell you, as a pastor, and I've pastored for, I don't know how many years. Should have wrote it down. But for over 20 years, let me tell you what has been the strength of every church I have pastored, and that's mothers. And some mothers in the church never had any children, but they loved kids, and so they loved on kids, and they've loved on it. They've showed that motherly, maternal love and concern and compassion towards people. And it's made men and women of God. We should honor them. We should honor especially mothers who are in distress. There are some mothers who are going it alone. And just like in Bible times in the book of Acts, it was important that the church felt that overwhelming burden to make sure that widows were taken care of. We need to honor and come alongside those mothers who especially need help in their time of need, raising their family, especially as they're raising their family by themselves. But with a spirit of humility, so often, and not only with single moms, but with other people who are going through difficult times, we help them out, but we do so as if we're doing them a favor. And coming alongside a mother who is in need, may we never have that superior attitude like we're helping you out and we're doing you a favor. It's not a favor, it's a privilege to come alongside an honorable mother who, despite all the odds, is raising their children, loving their children, in a godly sense, teaching their children how to know, love, and serve God. You might ask, well, how do we love our mothers? Mothers are to be loved. And that love is manifested in many ways. Just like every relationship, love is more than just an emotion. If we truly love someone, we demonstrate it by our deeds. We love our mothers by showing them our appreciation, which is more than just a flower on Sunday morning and singing Faith of Our Mothers. Those of you who've been in the church for a while understand what I'm talking about. How many mothers appreciate, you know, the wilted carnation? Yeah, we've done that, I know. And we do have a gift for mothers following the service today. Mothers, because who they are to be respected. They're to be, as we mentioned before, assisted with humility. They are to be praised for what they have undertaken in giving life and in raising children and nurturing them. And especially in the case of godly mothers, what I mean by that, according to Proverbs chapter 31, mothers who fear the Lord, they are to be sought out, they are to be listened to, and they are to be imitated, because they are individuals with great wisdom. And in addition to all that mothers are, we are to honor them because, number one, they are special gifts of God to mankind. Think of Eve, the first woman. When you think of Eve, you think of when God gave Eve to Adam, it was the gift of marriage. He was giving her a wife, and that was. And the Bible says, he who has found a wife has found a good thing. Wives are a blessing to husbands. But God, in giving Eve to Adam, was not just giving a gift to him or to husbands. He was giving a gift to children and to families. Adam understood this when he named Eve. Prior to the fall, Eve was just referred to as the woman, kind of like what I refer to my wife at home. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't share that earlier, but since you were here, Raylene, I couldn't resist. Genesis 3:20, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. Not only are they God's special gift for mankind, in many ways, because they are a gift of the Heavenly Father to mankind, they demonstrate to us in a real and tangible way how much God loves us. The love of God in the flesh. Because for many people, No one loves them more than their mother. Through thick and thin, their mothers love them. Their mothers would do anything for them. And that's the heart of God and more towards you. You want to understand how much God loves you? Think of the love of your mother. How do mothers emulate the love of God? Well, number one, in one way, they demonstrate God's love through their sacrifice. Any mother who takes upon herself the privilege and the responsibility of bearing a child or bringing a child into this world is literally sacrificing their lives in every way. And how many mothers can say amen to that? And when I say every way, I mean that. I mean, and I haven't gone through this personally, and, you know, kind of vicariously with my wife. But when you choose to bring a child into the world, physically, it does all kinds of crazy things to your body. You know, I think of pregnancy, and as that child grows, you know, it pushes all your organs, I guess, pushes your organs up in your up into your chest cavity. Some of the things that expectant mothers experience during pregnancy: breathlessness, added stress because they're not only breathing and pumping blood and so on for themselves, they're also doing it for another human being. Added stress on all their internal organs. Expectant mothers often experience acid reflux, heartburn, hot flashes, weight gain, stretch marks. They have to visit the bathroom a little bit more or a lot bit more. They experience changes in their bones, leg cramps, swelling of ankles, morning sickness, cravings, mood swings. And perhaps the worst of all, and again, I don't know this by personal experience, labor, and what some might say is the cruelest, false labor. Can you imagine? And I know towards the end of pregnancy, I remember this, especially with Stephen. And in fact, a girl I work with, she's about skinny as a reel. And she was either due last week or this week, and earlier this week, she had her baby, and then Friday, as I was leaving work, I passed by her in the hallway, or I passed by her in the store, and I said, "Oh, you're still here. I heard you had your baby." And she goes, "They lied." And I said, "How you doing?" "Ready to pop." And the other day, she was talking about how, you know, the Braxton Hicks contractions, and one of the worst things is you're at the end of your pregnancy. You're waiting to have this baby. The contractions start. You say, "Good, I'm ready to go." You get to the hospital. They say, "No, false labor. Go home." Ah! I can only imagine. But not only are mothers willing to take that on in order to bring new life into the world, many mothers, and God bless Tony Franklin, choose to do it over, knowing full well what happened, over and over and over again. Maybe I should have had Tony come up and share this part of the message. I think of my own mother, and my mother had difficulty with both myself and my brother. I'm the youngest. But with my brother, she had a particularly difficult time because someone stuck her with a dirty needle and she contracted hepatitis. And so she was hospitalized, and because of her condition, she couldn't be in the local hospital. She had to go to Providence. And she had all different hospitals. She was in a different hospital with a different doctor she did not know, different nurses. She was terribly, terribly, terribly sick. She was jaundiced. And, you know, fortunately, my brother was fine, and my mother recovered, but she did not want to have another child again, but, you know, God just moved upon her heart to have another child. And thank God she did, because I'm here because of that. But that's the heart of a mother. They're willing to sacrifice themselves. And there's other sacrifices they make. Your free time. If you're a mother, your free time is gone. Because all you parents know this. Once a child comes, your life is all about them. In fact, how many who your children have grown, you're like, what do I do with my life now? My life to this point has been about my kids. I don't know what I'm going to do now. For many, their career is put on hold, or some changes have to be made there. Your child becomes your hobby. Running them here and there, taking care of sick kids in the middle of the night, and so on and so forth. And yet they do it. And I never hear a mother complain about doing those things. They're glad to do that because there's this desire, this sacrificial spirit in their heart to give their lives for their children. Even mothers who, you know, for various reasons, and I'm not here to cast stones this morning, but even mothers who are not able to care for the children, at least, especially if you were born after 1973, at least they didn't go ahead and have an abortion. They chose to bring you into this world. Mothers who give up their children for adoption, I know there's different reasons for that, but for many, they're willing to sacrifice their time with their child, that bond that they have with them, so that their child could have a better life. Sacrifice, 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 and it continues all the way through life. In fact, I doubt there is anyone here who is, any mother here, who is less concerned with their children today as they were when their children was first born. In fact, the Bible tells us a story, a woman named Rizpah. And who Rizpah was, she was the mother of some of the descendants of King Saul in the Old Testament. And a number of Saul's descendants, because of some crimes in his family, were executed in a very dishonorable way. They were not only hung, but they were left out after they were hung, so that everyone could see, and so that, and this is something, especially in that culture, was one of the worst things that could happen to you after you died, to have your body scavenged by birds or animals. And when these individuals were killed, they were killed in disgrace. They were left to be ravaged by the sun and by the elements and by the animals. But not one animal touched these sons. And that was because of a mother. 2 Samuel 21 verse 10 says, Rizpah, daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on a rock. From the beginning of the harvest till the rain poured down from the heavens on the bodies, she did not let birds touch them by day or wild animals by night. How deep was the love of this mother? This mother's love was so deep that even after it didn't matter. What I mean by that, I'm not saying that those lives weren't precious. Every life is precious, but their lives were done. Their lives are over. They had died. She continued to love them and to care for them to the point where she left her home, she left her safety to make sure either day or night, can you imagine, day or night, not one beast, not one bird would touch their bodies. That's the love of a mother demonstrated by through sacrifice. Is that not the love of God for us? God who gave his life for us? Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, the heavenly Father gave his son. The Son willingly gave his life. The Holy Spirit gives himself, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Does the love of God to you today seem somewhere out there? Something that you can't relate to? Think of the love of your mother and how they gave themselves for you. How they allowed their body to go through those different things. How they stayed up with you at night. How they checked up on how they, you know, we'll talk about that. All these things. That's how much Jesus loves you and more. He hung on that cross for your sin. The Father gave His very best, His Son, for you. And God is still giving you things today in the midst of trial. You know, mothers, just like you are with your children. You're wishing you could change their circumstances, but can't. And so you do what you can. So the Heavenly Father, for whatever reason, there are times we go through hardships and difficulties. It's part of living in this world. God uses it for His glory. But we don't go through alone. We have the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, through grace, through joy, through peace, through provision, through protection, to help us through every dark time that we might go through. Secondly, mothers show us the love and nature of God in their unconditional love or their forgiveness. Mothers have a short memory. And I know because I have a mother. But they remember the strangest things and sometimes not the most pleasant things. But with mothers, because they love their children, no matter what their children have done, either against them, and I've seen it as a pastor, time and time, you know, mothers have come, my child has done this, and my child has done this, and I've stayed with them, and I helped them, and they just go and do it again. You know, in practical, I'm not saying this was always good, this was good counsel, but sometimes I feel, well, you just need to say, have a nice life. Go on your way. You know, that's what the flesh tempts me to do. I'm not going to say I shouldn't say that as a pastor. Just that's not good counsel. But because they are mother, they continue to accept and forgive and share grace with their children. A mother will often refuse to believe that their children are bad or terrible, even if they've done the worst things. They can see the good in them and will forgive them and believe that they should be forgiven. In fact, one of the things that Raylene and I sometimes we like to watch on television is like a true crime program. You know, some type of crime, usually it's murder. Not that we have a fixation with murder, but, you know. And when they talk about, in fact, there was one recently about a young lady, and the evidence was irrefutable, who, in cold blood, killed her boyfriend in a jealous rage. And I'm sure there was some mental illness involved in there, but it was a crime. You know, of course, and they, of course, in the course of the program, they interview all the parties involved, including the mother, the woman accused of murder. And she said, you know, that's not my daughter. My daughter could never do those things. Still loved her daughter, still thought the best of her daughter. And you might say, well, she's living in a fantasy land. Well, yeah, I get that. But in many ways, what that woman was doing there is the same thing that God is doing to us today. The unconditional, favorable, gracious love of our Heavenly Father that forgives over and over and over again. And let me share with you what I mean by that. I think of, you know, the enemy. The Bible says one of the greatest struggles that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have is the struggle with guilt or forgiving ourselves. And there's two reasons of that. We have, some will say three, but I'm just going to focus on two main accusers that bring us into condemnation. One is ourselves. You know, we have a hard time forgetting about who we were and what we've done and have a hard time forgiving ourselves. But there's also Satan, who one of the ways that he tries to undermine the work of God in our lives is by accusing us before God day and night. That's how the Bible describes him. He's the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before God day and night. You saw it in the book of Job. What do you think the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think God's response is when Satan comes up to them, when he comes up to him and says, you know, Randy, he's a lying, rotten, cheating, immoral, godless, blasphemous, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Just like that mother on that true crime scene. That's not Randy. He's blood-bought. He's washed. He's a new creation. He's been set free. His sins no longer, in fact, one of the verses that illustrate this is regarding Israel, but we can apply it because salvation is for the Jew first, but also the Gentile. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. It's not a matter of God just forgives us of our sins. He doesn't remember them anymore. And yes, in a teasing way, you know, moms, you remember when, but they love no matter what, and so does God. More so in the name of Jesus. And thirdly, this morning, and this is unique and special to those mothers who know God and who serve God and who raise their children to do likewise, they are worth double honor. Those mothers are our spiritual bedrock or spiritual foundation. Reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says regarding Timothy, wonderful man of God, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. According to that verse, there was a reason why Paul, or Timothy rather, served God the way that he did. It was because he was following not his father, and apparently his father was not a believer, or at least not at that time, following the faith of his mother. Let me tell you, in Scripture, we read of many godly men, but not all of these godly men who did great things had children who loved and served God. I think of Jacob, whose sons were far from perfect, although God blessed them and used them. I think of Eli, a godly man, but who had sons who were not godly. Samuel, who knew Eli and knew what his sons became, his sons also became corrupt in their service to God. David, a man whom the Bible says was a man after God's own heart, his family was full of trouble and his sons full of sin. And the list goes on and on. But almost without exception, those children who had godly mothers rose up to know and to serve God. And so mothers, godly mothers, are worth double honor. If you had a mother who I'm sure wasn't perfect because no mother or father or any individual is, but a godly mother who raised you in the fear of the Lord, they're worth double honor in your life. In the name of Jesus. Henry, if you would come this morning. Let us commit today to be people who honor mothers, our mothers, mothers in general, and the institution of motherhood. It is a gift of God to mankind that is to be cherished. And we do this because, yes, there is the promise of blessing. And Paul brought that out in our text this morning. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. You want to be blessed by God, and I don't just think long days, because long days, if they're bad, are not good days. But long blessed days, and honor your mother, and you might in your life have not honored your mother. It's not too late to start now. You can begin to honor your mother with love, appreciation, respect, praise, all those things that we spoke about earlier in the message. There is that promise, a blessing upon your life, long days and full days, blessed days and rich days. We're called to honor mothers because what they have done, but also because what they have done and what they mean to us, because they have sacrifice. And I don't think until, and mothers, you understand this. You don't know what a mother goes through. And this is, you know, gentlemen, we need to ask God to give us a deeper appreciation. Not only bringing us into the world, but caring for us, nurturing us, raising us. But above and beyond all that, we need to honor mothers, because in doing so, we honor God. Amen? So important to God that God made it the first of the second part of the great, of the Ten Commandments, that great commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, begins with honoring your mother. Let's stand and let's sing this morning.